Joining us, as he does regularly, to discuss the presidential race is Slate's chief political analyst, Will Salatin. Hi, Will. There hasn't been a Thanksgiving dinner in a long time that's generated as much talk as we got on Thursday. Of course, this was President Bush's surprise trip to Baghdad, during which he served dinner with the American troops there. From your standpoint as a political observer, how important a moment was this for Mr. Bush?
Well, you know, a lot of my liberal friends are really upset about this. They say that it was both brilliant and dastardly. It's really going to help Bush in the election, and it was unfair. I think they're actually wrong on both counts. First of all, nobody should hold it against the president that he flew over to a war zone in some danger to himself to be with the troops and boost morale and to reassure them that the country stands with him. I think it was a great thing for him to do. And secondly, you know, we pundits thought we knew when Bush landed on that aircraft carrier and did the whole mission accomplished thing that that was brilliant and that that was going to help Bush in the election. And months later, we know we were wrong. The White House is trying to live that down. And I could see the same exact thing happening with this landing. If the Iraq policy doesn't turn out any better, if soldiers or American soldiers are still being killed over there, then this will be looked back on as a photo op that didn't really solve the problem.
Another political problem for the president, steel tariffs. The Washington Post and other papers report that Mr. Bush is now likely to lift tariffs on foreign steel that he imposed almost 2 years ago. If that happens, this would be an effort to head off a trade war with Europe and Japan. But there's politics in this decision for the president as well.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why a Republican president, normally the party of free trade, the Republicans, turned around and supported this trade barrier was to protect the steel industry and to win votes in states like Ohio and Pennsylvania and West Virginia. You can argue that he desperately needs West Virginia because it delivered the 2000 election for him. And some people think that this is going to hurt him now because he's got to turn around to those states and say, sorry, those trade barriers I put in to protect your jobs, I got to take them away now. Mm. Plus, there have been studies that indicated that these policies lost jobs for Americans in steel-consuming industries like the auto industry, which are important in other states like Michigan. So this is really a lesson in how you should stick with your principles because you end up having to turn around on them anyway, and you basically annoy both sides.
Yeah. Well, let's turn to the Democrats and annoy them for a little while. How about Howard Dean and Massachusetts Senator John Kerry both saying they are going to reject public campaign financing? What's going on there?
Well, what's going on is a separation that's happening in the Democratic race between the candidates who are going to have to abide by the spending limits because they're basically too poor not to, and the rich candidates who, because of their own money or because of somebody else's money, are going to be able to flout the caps. And basically, Howard Dean and John Kerry are going to be able to spend all the money they want. Howard Dean is spending other people's money. John Kerry is going to be spending probably a good deal of his own, although he claims he won't have to spend that much, but he's not raising money the same way Dean is. So those two candidates are going to be able to blow the caps, as they say in politics. That is, Howard Dean is on the air right now with a TV ad in Iowa, and he's outspending Dick Gephardt 2-1. Now, Howard Dean is pulling ahead of Dick Gephardt. Is it because Howard Dean is a better guy or because Howard Dean has a lot more money than Dick Gephardt because he doesn't have to abide by the caps? So, you know, voters can make of this what they want, but there definitely is a split between the rich candidates and the poor ones now in the presidential campaign.
I wonder in the long run, you know, no one's as rich in this as President Bush, who has also eschewed public financing and is out expecting to raise up to $200 million for his reelection.
Yeah, I mean, and that's Howard Dean's explanation for why he's busting the cap. He says, look, here's the president. He's going to outspend us all. We have to compete with him. I mean, it's a strange thing where, you know, I know a lot of people who believe in campaign finance reform and say, oh, we shouldn't be violating it. We should stick within the federal matching system and abide by these caps. But, you know, at the same time, the thirst to win is just, you know, overtaking Democrats. And I think that Howard Dean, at least, will probably get away with this because Democrats want to win more than they want to play by the rules.
Analysis and opinion from Will Salatin. He writes the Ballot Box column for Slate. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Alex.